10th verse. This morning, we're going to be talking about revelation today. That if I'm going to be what God wants me to be, I have to have some revelation in my own life. We have to have revelation in our lives. You ask, well, what are you talking about? Well, we're going to talk about it. I don't want to preach it all right off the bat, then y'all be bored. Amen. It says in Galatians 1 and 10, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but it was by revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 3 and 16 says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Lord Jesus, I pray that your spirit would be in this place today. Lord, we already know that it is, O God, but that your spirit would speak to our hearts and our minds, O God. Lord, that you would challenge us, O God, not just to be good Christians, but to be godly Christians, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated this morning. Eve lived in a perfect environment. Eve had never been abused. She didn't have a father or a mother that abused her. She didn't have a husband that abused her. She didn't have a family situation that was distorted. She didn't have relatives or a boss or a teacher or anyone that had ever bullied her or abused her. She lived in a situation unlike anybody else. She had perfect health. She lived in a place of total peace and tranquility. She had abundantly above all anything that she could ask or think. There was no sickness. There was no lack of resource. There were no bills that had to be paid next week. There was no worry about what our doctor's appointment was going to say. There was no worry about why there was a pain in the body. She lived in a perfect environment. Not only did she live in a perfect situation, she had a relationship with an almighty God. The scripture talks about how that she lived in harmony with her creator, that God's presence would come and walk with them in the garden in the evening time, that there was a relationship there that she had with God like nobody else has had since that moment in time, that God would literally come and walk with them in the garden. It was a relationship like no other. In the beginning, God created a perfect world. It was a beautiful world. It was a flawless world. It was a world that was loaded with resources, with a world that was full of delights. That this world that he created for the man that he created. That he created this world for man. His first thought was for man. His first thought was to create a man. That's what he desired. But when he began to create man and begin to desire the thought of man and creating him, he wanted to create a world for this man. He wanted to create a world that would make this man happy. He wanted to create an environment that this man could live in. He wanted to create an environment that would be lovely to this human. He created 1.5 million living creatures, over 250,000 plants, over 100,000 species of trees, all kinds of rocks and soils and natural resources in this masterpiece that he created for humanity. He created all of this for man. And as he sat there, he realized that it wasn't good for man to be alone. He began to create woman as he created Eve out of man's side, as he created a creature for man, another human being that was equal with him, that was a helpmate. And he put them in a perfect situation, a place that was not flawed, a perfect environment that has never been seen like that ever again. I've had the opportunity to travel to South America, to Africa, to the Pacific Islands, to different places. And for whatever reason, one of the most beautiful gardens that I've ever been in has been in London. There's a garden in London that's just a public garden that you can walk through, and it's just little cottages and just all of these flowers and different colors, and it looks like something like what the Garden of Eden might have looked like. There's an island in Germany that they've specifically made into a garden that takes days to just go and view all of the things that they have growing out in the middle of this lake that you have to take a bridge to get to. But they say that it's possibly the closest thing that could remotely be like the Garden of Eden, of something of beauty, of something that could compare even closely to what Adam and Eve experienced. If Eve was born into a perfect situation, if Eve's life was set in a perfect environment, if Eve had no family problems, she had no baggage that came with her, everything that she had came from God. There was never a moment in time that she did not feel love, that she did not feel all of the problems of this world. If somebody in that perfect environment can struggle in their relationship with God, how much more do you think we can struggle in our relationship with God? If someone that was put in that perfect situation without ever being abused, without ever being talked down to, without ever having a difficulty, without ever feeling a moment of weakness in their life, and somehow, some way that she found herself in a moment of desperation where she was contemplating doing something that she knew she should not be doing. How did Satan, this serpent, get this woman to change her mind and to do something against God? This woman that had a relationship with God, this woman that knew God, this woman that had seen the power of God, this woman that had experienced the power of God. How on earth could Satan get this woman distracted off of everything else that God had done in her life? He first started by pointing out the one tree in the garden that she could not have. The one tree in the garden that could not be touched, that could not be experienced, that God specifically placed in the garden and said, please do not touch of this tree. All of the other things that come with the benefits of living for God. And our problem as humans is we want the very thing that we cannot have. All of the benefits that come with a relationship with God. And for whatever reason, our humanity, even in this perfect situation, in as perfect as it could possibly get, she's sitting there looking over her shoulder and she's wondering, why can't I have that over there? Why can't I touch that? Why can't I experience that? Why can't that be a part of my life? I hear people say, when I get to heaven, I've got some words for Eve. The problem is, if it wasn't Eve, it would have been you. If it wasn't Eve, it would have been one of us. That somebody was going to make the mistake because of the humanity that we are and the problems that we have. And the scripture says in Genesis 3:6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took of it and she ate. And took of its fruit and ate. Wait a minute. Why we wonder, why is God holding out on me? Why is God not allowing me to have of this? It looks good. It looks like it will be all right. I don't understand why God would say this is wrong. I don't know why God wouldn't allow me to do this. I don't know why God would tell me no. It looks like it'll bring joy to my life. It looks like it'll bring happiness to my life. It looks like that it is the one thing in my life that I could give it a hold of that it would make me happy. If God says no, there's a reason for it. If God says that this could bring destroy your life, there's a reason for it. If God says somewhere in his word that it is wrong, there's a reason for it. Now, most of them make sense. Most of them you can look at and it, without a shadow of a doubt, you can justify it. You can look at it and understand that, thou shalt not kill. Well, that makes sense. I shouldn't be going around killing people, you know. Thou shalt not steal. I've met a few folks that haven't ever found that one yet. They're still, they're still struggling with that one. There are things that make sense. And then there are some things that God places in our lives that they might not make complete sense to us. We might not understand why God is putting this in our lives, but he does it for a reason, to protect us from us. If God ever puts his finger on anything in your life, it's not because he's trying to take it away from you and laugh like, oh, look what I did, look what I took from them. It's because eventually whatever that is in your life is going to destroy you, is going to distract you, it's going to pull you down, it's going to hurt you. And here she is with all of this perfection, and she's looking at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Here she is looking at this place, wondering why she cannot have that. God placed two trees in the garden that he specifically mentioned. He mentioned the tree of life in the center of the Garden of Eden. It was representative of God's way of life and of his wisdom. Proverbs 3:13 says, "Happy is the man who finds wisdom. All things you desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand is riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all of her paths are peace." She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are those who retain her. This scripture talks about godly wisdom applied to our lives results in fruitful living, in productivity and success, in long life, in peace of mind, and in honor. That it is something to be partaken of. It is something that if we follow after his way of life, that there's something special about it. John 10:10 says, "And the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I am come that ye might have life, and that it might be more abundantly." He's saying, you've got to understand, I didn't come to take life. I came to give you life. I didn't come to hinder your life. I came to give you a life that is more abundant. I came to give you a life that is blessed. I came to give you a life that is wonderful and great. Does that mean life's going to be perfect? No. Does that mean everything's going to always go our way? No. Does that mean we're not going to face trials? Yes, we're going to face trials. But he says that I've come that you might have life. The second tree is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This is an earthly wisdom, eyes being opened to something that you can never unsee or unchange or unlearn. That a wisdom of something that you can never go back, that no matter how hard you try to forget, it is forever there. No matter how many times you try to erase it, it is forever there. No matter how many times that you ask God to forgive you, and even though you know that you are forgiven, that when you remember that moment in time, that wisdom, that earthly wisdom that has been bestowed upon you, that knowledge of whatever it was that you obtained, seen, have done, whatever it is, that it is something that you just can't walk away from. There are things that we wish we could be hooked up to a machine in a moment's time. There are memories, thoughts, actions, deeds that could completely be erased that would cause us to live in such peace and joy. But once some of that wisdom is obtained, it can never be erased. That's what Satan wants. He wants us to receive a worldly wisdom. And I'm not talking about an education. I'm talking about a worldly wisdom to experience things that you cannot unexperience, to allow things into your life that are forever going to be a part of your life, things into your memory and into your mind that are forever going to be a part of your life. "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man," Proverbs 14:12 says, "but its end is the way of death." As a human being, I have to be careful what feels right and feels good, because in my own mind, I can find things that seem right, but in the end is death. Jeremiah 21 and 8 says, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. A lot of times as Christians, we feel like, well, we're saved. We feel like, well, we're doing good. We feel like we're better than most. We feel like that everything is good. So, it's not, we're on the right path. We're doing the right things. We're living a good life. We're being what God wants us to be. But what we've got to understand in Hebrews 5 and 11, as he speaks to Christians, he says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. He's talking about people that live for God, people that have been filled full of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but as like age has come upon them, they are dull of hearing. They are not able to hear what it is that God is trying to say to the church. For it says, for when for time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again. He's saying you're having to learn this all over again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. It says, and you have become such as have need of milk. He's talking about people that have been in church a long time. He's saying, you have digressed from steak to milk. He says, and not of strong meat, for everyone that useth milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. He's saying that at one time you could use the word, you could rightly divide it, but now you're just drinking milk. It says, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. He's talking about seasoned Christians, seasoned people that have exercised and have grown to a place that they can experience, and their senses are to a place that they can discern both good and evil. So I can get to a place in my sensitivity with God that I can discern what is wrong and what is right. That I can discern if this is right for my life or if this is wrong for my life. That if I need to be doing this or I don't need to be doing this. That we need to pray every day, God, help me to think right about right and feel wrong about wrong. I use that all the time. But if you can think right about right and feel wrong about wrong, you are ahead of the game. That I've got to understand. That I've got to know and feel and be sensitive to what it is that God wants to do in my life. Genesis 3 and 2, Eve told Satan, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit that is of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. She doesn't even call it by name. It's just the tree in the midst of the garden. God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Genesis 2 and 16, God speaks to Adam and he tells him, the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for that day that thou eatest, therefore thou shalt surely die. You see, there's a difference between communicated knowledge and revealed knowledge. There's a difference between just being told and coming to the revelation that this is right. It's one thing for me to tell my children, then do not touch the stove because it is hot. It's another thing when they touch that stove and they come to the realization that daddy is not a liar. That stove is hot. There's one way, there's a difference between revelation being communicated and revelation being revealed. You look in Matthew 16 and 13, and Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that the Son of Man am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias, others say Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Jesus made a declaration that there is a type of revelation that had been imparted there, that the church cannot be built upon just some kind of assessment of what is right or an assessment of who he is. But when he came to the revelation of who Jesus Christ was, he said, upon revelation my church can be built. It's upon this that my church can be built upon. In verse 18, he says, I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If it's just communicated knowledge, then we can have questions. We can have wonders and why. And why is it this way? But when God reveals it into our spirits and into our hearts, when God convicts us, all of a sudden, it's a completely different ballgame. The things that God has convicted me about in my life, I don't have to keep going to my elders and saying, well, why is this so? The things that God has put his fingers on in my life and said, this is enough, stop this or do that, those things are not things that I have to question God about anymore. Those things have been forever solidified in my life because it was something that happened between me and an almighty, awesome God. You see, you've got to understand, as Timothy said, great is the mystery of godliness, that there are some things that just can't be told. There are some things that God has to reveal into your spirit. There are some things that I can't just make it to heaven by just going along and reading every book and doing this and that. And I've got to have God speak into my life and into my spirit, because it's those things that a church and my life can be built upon. I believe that the reason that Eve was so weak, the difference that we read between between Adam's explanation and between Eve's explanation are a little bit different. When God spoke to Adam, he told Adam, he said, do not eat of the tree of good and evil, lest ye die. When Adam evidently spoke to Eve about it, as a good person would, a man of God, the keeper of his own home, he set a boundary around about it that said, we're not even going to touch of the tree of good and evil. We're not even going to touch this tree. We're not even going to get close. Not only are we not going to eat of it, we're not going to touch this tree. She didn't even know the name of the tree. It didn't mean enough to her to even have the name as she spoke, as it's just the tree in the midst of the garden. You see, there are some things that you've got to understand. Just because I say it doesn't mean that you just take it for gold. You need to go find it out for yourselves. Amen? You've got to understand, if I preach something on a Sunday morning, you need to take your Bible home and you need to begin to look for it for yourself. Because it doesn't mean a whole lot if it's just communicated knowledge. There's got to be some things that happen inside of you. There's got to be some things that become a revelation in your life, that become a part of your life. Because as long as it's just a knowledge that has been imparted by just conversation or preaching, sometimes it can just be a surface knowledge. It can just be something that we heard about. But when it becomes something that we've received from God, then there's no questions about it anymore. Amen. When it becomes something that God has spoken into our lives and our lives have been opened, and all of a sudden it's not a question anymore. I don't have to come back and ask, why is this or why is that or why can't this or why can't that? Because there's a revelation that has been spoken into my life. Eve must have walked with God in the garden all of those days and never one time asked him anything about that tree. She must have walked in the garden all of those days and never one time stopped and said, hey, there's a tree that I'm not supposed to touch. I can't remember the name of it right now. Maybe we can talk about that. What all's going on with that tree? What all? She never had a personal experience with God over the sin that was placed in the middle of that garden. She never stopped long enough to speak to a God that she walked with, that she had a relationship with, that she was faithful to, about the things that were going on in the garden and in her life. You see, you've got to understand that there are some things that just because you might have heard it, you need to go talk to God. When was the last time you went to God and said, God, I'm having some questions in my life. I need to help you. I need some revelation in my life. I'm struggling with some things. Oh, we'll go ask our best friend, how do you feel about this? What do you think about that? What do you think? Hey, if we take this scripture and we cut it in half and we move this word over here and we switch this one around over there and we move that over here, hey, man, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? We can figure this all out. What do you think about this? What would happen instead? You take your Bible and say, you know what? It's been a long time since God spoke to me about a certain situation. God, there's some areas that I'm struggling in. God, I come to you today, God, because I can't just have a communicated revelation. I need you to reveal some things into my spirit and into my heart. There are some things that I'm struggling with in my life. There are some things that I'm questioning. There are some things that I don't understand. There are some things that my preacher might have preached about, and my flesh kind of rose up, and I'm just kind of having trouble with it. God, I need to find it in my word. I need to get it for myself. It just can't be something that's communicated. It's got to be something that you find from an almighty, awesome God. Amen. Now, if you open your Bible and it says, "Thou shalt not kill," and you say, "Well, I don't feel that way," you're wrong, all right? There's some things that we don't even have to talk about. There are some things that aren't even a question. There are some things that I don't even understand why they have to be brought up or even discussed. But there are other things when God begins to deal with you in your own lives that you've got to understand. God, help me with this. Change me, oh God. Make me into what it is that you desire for me to be. It is in Acts 17 and 11 that he begins to speak to a certain people that he is so proud of. He says, "And these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so." He said, "I preached it to them, and they said, I'm going to go check it out." And Paul said, "I like it." He preached it to them, and they took their word and said, "You know what? We're going to go research this, and we're going to get it inside ourselves, and we're going to find out, and we're going to get this for ourselves, because it's not just enough for it to be communicated. It's got to be something that is put inside of us. If it's just communicated, it's easy for us to begin to question and to, well, you know, Satan, maybe you're right. Maybe it's not that big of a deal. Maybe it is just a tree. Maybe it is beautiful. Maybe it is good to eat. But when God has spoken it into your spirit, devil, I've already had an encounter with an almighty, awesome God. He's already set some things in my life." And there are sometimes you've got to go back and say, "God, I'm struggling with some things that you've put in my life a long time ago, and I need you to stir some things back up. I need you to remind me. I need to understand, why am I struggling with the things that I'm struggling with?" There are some things that you've got to understand that it can't just be something that is spoken. It's got to be something that you've got to go get for yourself. It's got to be something between you and Jesus. Amen. Mary, the mother of Jesus, had to have a revelation of who he was. His own mama had to have a revelation of who Jesus was. His own mama was standing in the upper room when the power of God fell. And his own mother, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was filled full of the baptism of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. That didn't come without her having a revelation of who Jesus Christ was. It's not enough for someone to just tell me who Jesus is. I've got to know him for myself. It's not enough for just someone to preach a sermon and tell me about Jesus. I've got to go find Jesus for myself. It's not enough for just someone to open the Word of God and say, "Look, they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues on the day of Pentecost, and it's still happening today." I've got to go find it for myself, amen. I've got to get in the Word and allow God to speak into my life. Paul thought he had it all together, but he had a revelation of who Jesus was on the road to Damascus. It doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how long you've been in church. It doesn't matter how long you've been doing what you're doing. There are moments and times in our lives that we've got to understand that if I'm going to be saved, it's only going to be because I've allowed God to speak into my life and to solidify some things in my life that I can't just make it by just being good. I can't just make it by someone telling me about it. But there are some things I've got to get all by myself. There's some things I've got to get into my spirit and my heart that no man can tell me or explain it good enough. I've got to get my word out, and I've got to begin to search it, and I've got to begin to hide it in my own heart, and I've got to begin to get in a prayer room and say, Jesus, I've been struggling, or Jesus, I've been having... He's not afraid of your questions. Well, I can't ask you. No, ask questions. Ask him questions. I'd rather ask a question than be lost. I'd rather ask a question than be confused. I'd rather ask a question than live in darkness. God, help me. Help me. I need help. Find somebody you trust. Find somebody that you know that loves you and that is not just trying to you know. Some people, they want to tear everybody else down. I might preach about this later. They want to bring everybody to their level so they're not convicted about when other people are living at another level. You can't look for somebody that's living on a lower level. You got to look for somebody that's living on a higher level. Hey, I need help. I need to show me this. Show me what's going on here. If you got questions, come and ask me. If I don't have the answers, I promise you I will get you the answers. I'll have more answers for you than you want to know by the time it's all said and done. I will help you find the answers, but it can't just be enough to hear it. That's good, Adam. All right. It's got to be something, Jesus. Help me. Explain to me. Help me. I've been looking at that tree. I've been struggling with it. I've been walking by it, and I've been walking by it. I've been looking at it. I've been gazing at it. I've been thinking about it. I've been putting my hands on it, and I know that I shouldn't have. Adam told me I shouldn't touch, but I touched it, and everything's all right. I'm struggling with it. Jesus, I need to find a moment of time with you that, God, that you can help me understand some things that are going on in my life. It can't just be a communicated. There's some things that have to be revealed into our lives. Lord Jesus, God, I can't just be satisfied with just having your word communicated into my life. I can't just be satisfied with coming to church and hearing my pastor preach or a preacher come in and preach to me and, oh, that was good, and me get excited. God, there's some things I've got to do for myself. There's some things that I've got to take this word home and I've got to put it in my heart. I've got to hide it inside of me. There's some things that I've got to seek out my own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, I've got to go home and I've got to make sure that I put your word in my life. 1 John, he says, and you need not that any man teach you, but the Holy Ghost. You say, oh, then I don't need a man of God in my life. No, that's not what he's saying. There's only so much that a man of God can do in your life. He can only help you so much. He can only call you so many times. He can only put you in so many Bible studies. He can only get you to church. He can only hug you. He can pray so many prayers for you. But somewhere along the way, you've got to make up your mind for yourself. That it goes beyond whether the preacher says hello to me. It goes beyond whether the sermon was just for me. It goes beyond whether everything lined up for me. It goes beyond whether all the songs were my favorite. It comes to a place that it's all about me and him. I didn't come to church today so that you could see me. I came to church today so I could see him. I didn't come to church today so that you wouldn't be wondering if I'm backsliding or not. I came to church today because I want to get close to him. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We can't make it without revelation in our lives. We can't make it. I remember the day that I received the revelation that Jesus Christ was one. I'd heard it my whole life. I was youth pastoring. I knew it. I knew all the scriptures about it. I had it all in my mind. I was vacuuming the church, and I was sitting there pondering over those scriptures, and I was thinking about them. And all of a sudden, I was 19 years old. 19 years old when it hit me. The revelation hit me. I'm vacuuming the church, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. And all of a sudden, all of those scriptures that I knew, everything that was going on, all of a sudden it became, whoo, And there's never been another question in my life, because I had a moment in time with an almighty, awesome God that there was something hungry inside of me that was longing. God, I've got to make sense of this. I've got to want it. I want it more than in all of a sudden. You've got to understand, you've got to have revelation in your life. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to meet right back in here, and we're going to have church this afternoon. Amen? Hallelujah. You got questions? Ask them. You've got reservations? Let's ask. You've got questions, and you wonder what God might be doing or how He feels about it? Ask Him. You're not going to make Him mad. He loves you. He cares about you. He'll lead you to scriptures. He'll lead you to things. He'll lead you to situations that'll help solidify whatever it is that, oh, man, you're leaving a lot of room for gray area. No, I'm not. I trust my Jesus. I trust that if you wholeheartedly search after what it is, that what it is that you need to know, I know that our God will speak to you and help you. That's how much I trust my Jesus. Amen. That's how much I trust my Jesus, that if you're hungry, He'll speak. If you want it, He'll show you. If you desire it, He'll give it to you. Amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. I'm all excited this morning. We might be in trouble the next service. Lord, dear God. Amen, amen.